Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph. Yesterday we began our new perek. We just read the first line. So let's get back to the beginning of the perek on the last line of Lamed on the base. And we enter into a whole new question over here, which in a sense isn't totally new, because we've discovered something unusual about Nazir. And that is that even if a person didn't realize what he was getting into, he still gets into it, which is normally not part of the dinim of Nedarim and Nazir, right? Because you need to have pivuli bo shavim. So if the guy is mekabel on himself, and he thinks that this is the definition of Naziris, that he can be a Nazir only from haircuts, let's say. You know, so he likes the idea of having long hair, but he certainly does not like the idea of not being invited to cocktail parties. That nonetheless, all of the dinim of Naziris are going to be chal on him, at least according to one of the way that we paskin. So there's something that is unusual, is part of the whole halacha of Nazir being a state that's defined by the Torah. Now there's a very interesting comparison to this. The state of Nedarim, in which whatever it is that, I shouldn't say the state, the Isur of Nedarim, in which precisely what it is that you define is what it is that the halacha that is chal on you reflects. And whatever it is that you did not define is not included in that definition. That concept of neder is to nazir as kochim is to tamura. Now that sounds like a very strange thing, but it's a very important way to understand what's happening here. There is a normal concept of Kodesh. And remember that Kodesh is one of the dinim of Nedarim, correct? So when you say carbon, that's precisely, since we have the concept of Nidrei Hegdesh, when you define a carbon, it becomes precisely the carbon that you defined. Great. One case where that isn't true is where you try to make a tumura. So what you want to do, really, is you want to exchange one animal for another animal. So you already have a carbon oila, let's say, right? And you found a nicer behemoth, or you found a worse behemoth, whatever the situation is irrelevant. And you take that behemoth, and you put it up to the other behemoth, and you say, well, the carbon oila that was here, I'm exchanging for this animal. And now this one should be the carbon oila. Now, normally, only what it is that your das would be in making something kodesh is kodesh. Strangely enough, when it comes to tamura, we have a situation that's very similar to naziris. You only wanted to do that. You only wanted to be usher, let's say, in drinking wine. And instead, it turns out that you're usher in taking a haircut, being betam lemesim, or whatever one of the three issues was, correct? So fascinatingly, the same thing happens by a tamura. You only wanted this new animal to be a carbon oila in the event that you were successfully exchanging one for the other. You made a mistake, and you thought that the same way that you can be poda an animal, you can exchange an animal. Well, you can't. And surprisingly, the halacha is that both animals are kodesh. Now, the guy says, now, wait a minute, I didn't want to make this animal kodesh. Get out of here. I can't afford to have two carbonas. Sorry, Charlie, it's too late. Now, that's exactly what happens for the guy who's screaming all the way away from the barbershop as they're dragging him away. But I wanted to get in. Doesn't matter, sorry, Charlie. It's too late, right? So these are two situations, and fascinatingly, both of them have relationships to the concept of Nedarim. Can you get yourself into a situation utilizing the mechanisms of Neder into a situation where it is not piv velibo shavim? Now we're going to see that this very strange interrelationship is actually the basis of the machlokas in the Mishnah of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. I've never seen anybody point this out, that that's the whole idea of the perek, is this similarity of neder is to nazir as hegdish is to tamura. But I believe that that's the centerpiece of the entire focus of the perek. So now the question is raised, if that's the case, that the same concept of Hegdesh Bitaud is also applicable to questions of the Naziris Bitaud. Who is coming up here at 6137, please? No, this is not good, because the idea
it's
is...
me, Rabbi. It's me, Rabbi.
Who's
it's
a me? I don't know. Well, could you please put your name on there?
Yes, I messed up. Okay. Yes, I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Okay. So therefore, let us begin once again with the Mishnah, and we will hopefully be able to get into this sugya. Beit Shammai Omrim, Hekdesh Ta'ut Hekdesh, Ubeit Hillel Omrim, In Hegdesh Ta'ut Hegdesh. Okay. So, either to say it the way I'm saying it, or change the gear set to read Ein No Hegdesh, because, I mean, just Ein Hegdesh, of course, doesn't really make sense grammatically. So, okay, so some change it to Ein No. So, we have a machlokas about whether if you make a mistake when you're making something Hegdesh, is it Hegdesh or not? And we're going to see that this introduction is said specifically because it is similar to the idea of the Zeros, which the Gemara is going to be getting into in the next Mishnah. So what do we mean when we say this? Ketzad, explain to me what you mean about its being Hegdesh Ta'ut. Well, suppose a guy says, the black shor that comes first out of my home should be Hegdesh. And in the end, there never was a black shor that came out of his home. Actually, a white shor came out of his home first. So Beit Shammai says, well, it doesn't matter. It's Hegdesh anyway. Now, it's Hegdesh anyway seems to mean that the white one is Hegdesh, correct? Now, that might not be the pshat, as we'll see. But the simple take on the Mishnah, if you're a naive reader, is that Beit Shammai is saying that even though he said a black one was going to come out, and instead a white one came out, doesn't matter, and the white one is Hegdesh. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Eino Hegdesh. Now, we have further examples of this. If we're going to, of course, explain in the Gemara why we need different examples. So, Dinar Zahav, Sheyale B'yadi Rishon. I'm sticking my hand into this cash box, and the golden dinar that's going to come up in my hand, just watch this, abracadabra, the golden dinar that's going to come up in my hand first, that is Hegdesh. Well, abracadabra didn't work, and he brilliantly brings up a silver dinner. Okay, v'ala shalkesa. So Beit Shammai says, doesn't matter, it's Hegdesh. And Beit Hillel says, it does matter, and it's not Hegdesh. We have our magician, of course, giving us show and tell. He's an expert on the person in your neighborhood and in what you do when you walk into school in the morning, which is show and tell. So first you sing, Barneya is a person in your neighborhood, and then you call on all of the kids to show and tell, here is our dinner zahav. Okay.
Dinner shalkesa of this patient.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Sorry, no, that's dinner zahav. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. It was out of pocket.
The next case, I'm picking a barrel of wine, and that barrel of wine is the first thing that's going to be brought up here by my robot picker. Well, guess what happens? The robot picker, like a typical AI machine, brings up a barrel of oil instead of a barrel of wine. So, says Beit Shammai, doesn't matter, even though he thought it was going to be wine, it's going to be Hegdesh anyway. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Eino Hegdesh. Well, okay. Now, you'll notice something, by the way, about the what appears to be the different cases over here, that in the case of the Yayin, V'olta Shel Shemen, Shemen is generally worth a lot more than Yayin. But in the case of the Dinar Zahav and the Dinar Kesev, it's the Dinar Zahav that's worth more than the Dinar Kesev. So these two cases are sort of backward cases. The dinner case is the lesser thing of value came up, and Beit Shammai is saying it's Hegdesh. And the oil thing is the more valuable thing, ends up coming up, and their two Beishame says it doesn't matter. So we're going to see that that's actually significant. But let's try to understand it. So Beit Shammai says that even though what we're used to is that there needs to be a piv v'libo shavim, we had this many times. That's the basic meaning of the pasuk of ish ki yafli lindor neder, is the idea that it's he himself is putting himself into it, and it has to be what he was thinking. So where does Beit Shammai come off saying that even though it's clearly not what he was thinking, that nonetheless, the Hegdash is chal? Well, Beit Shammai says, we can learn the dinim about making something Hegdash from the dinim that apply from attempting to use something that was Hegdash. And that's called Sof Hegdash, and that is a specific reference to Temura. In Temura, you had something that was Hegdash, and now you're attempting to transfer it to something else. And the din over there is that just like Temura is actually going to be chal, even if it's a mistake. And we learned that out of a pasuk, because it says, v'hayahu utmurato yiyeh kodesh. Why does it have to say yiyeh kodesh? Why not just say, v'hayahu utmurato kodesh? So the yiyeh adds that even if it was against what the person thought that he was trying to do, it doesn't matter, and it would be kodesh anyway. So in that event, says the Gemara, if a person had in mind to make something a tumuras eila, and instead he said it should be a tumuras shlami, or suppose he wanted the black shor to be the tumura, and instead he said the white shor, it wouldn't matter. The important thing is that he attempted to do an exchange, and therefore, in attempting to do an exchange, even if it doesn't match what you said, doesn't match what you were thinking, it still would be chal. That's my svara. So if we find that in the context of hegdeshes, albeit in the sof hegdesh, that you do not have to have a complete confluence of what you're thinking with what you're saying, so the same thing ought to be true in the concept of hegdesh itself, that when I'm being makdish something and I make a mistake, that the fact that it's a mistake shouldn't change anything. That's Beit Shammai's svara. Beit Hillel says, you cannot compare Sof Hegdash to Tchilas Hegdash. Thank you. Thank you, Elroy. And Gabi. So, in Temura, you already had Hegdash. So since you already had Hegdash, it's easier for that Hegdash to impact something, because you're not trying to create Hegdash b'ta'ut. Masha'en kein, the creating the Hegdash, achute Hegdash, and that means to bring down the Hegdash on the animal, b'ta'ut lo machtinan, it's not going to come down on him, and it is not going to be chal. So there's an obvious difference between a state that was already in existence and a state that you're trying to create. Now, let me understand. Says the Gemara, you're claiming that Beit Shammai in our Mishnah, who seems to be saying that the white shor is Hegdash, is learnt out from Temura, where the guy had in mind to say something other than what he said. I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, in the case of the Temura, all we're saying is, look, I don't care if the guy made a mistake and he had every intention to say the black shor, since he said the white shor, that's the one that is Kodesh. In this case, it's the exact opposite. We're going against what he said. We're not saying, let's take what he said and the heck with what he meant to say, right? Which is what it is by Temura. It's the opposite. Let me ask you something, says the Gemara. Let's say, Ma ilu Omar, hare ze tachat ze l'chatzi hayom. Suppose he said, this Temura shall be chal at noon, right? At chatzot. So what are you going to say? Well, even though he said at chatzot, it becomes a temura immediately. It's ridiculous. Why in the world would we say such an idiotic thing? It becomes a temura at chatzot. Does it become a temura at a time that he didn't want it to be a temura? So the same thing should be true over here in the Mishnah. The guy said that when it happens that the first black shor to come out of my house comes out of my house, at that point, it should be Kodesh. how the heck do you say that let's apply what he was saying about a black shark, the opposite of what he said, and let's make a white shark garbage? That's crazy. I don't understand how you can say such a thing. It has nothing to do with Tamura. So it should mean exactly the same thing here as it meant over there. You cannot say that Beit Shammai is telling me that the white shar is Kaddish. The guy never said a white shar should be Kaddish. What he should say, if we're going to learn it from Tamura, is that it can't be different than Tamura. So when the black shar comes out, so at that point, you could say it's Kaddish. Omar of Papa, yeah. You guys didn't understand the Mishnah at all. Beit Shammai never said that the white shar is Kaddish. Where would have gotten that from? The reason that the guy said Rishon, why do you think he said, quote, Rishon? He said Rishon by meaning when it will first come out. So in other words, the first black shor to come out from any of the other black shorim, that's the black shor that I want to be Kaddish. So it doesn't mean the first shor to come out of the house. It means the first black shor to come out of the house. But, I mean, wait a minute. The first black shor to come out of the house has got to mean that there's more than one black shor, right? I mean, but the guy didn't say anything about there being more than one black shor. He said the shor, which, I mean, that could include even a case where he only had one black shor, in which case he couldn't have meant the first black shor to come out of my house. No, there's only one. So aren't we talking about even a case, Milo Askina Deletle Elahai? There only is one black shor. No, that's true. Look, I mean, in all honesty, Rav Papa's explanation is only going to make sense if he had two or three black shvarim, right? So then when we can interpret what he says, the first black shor to come out of my house does not mean the black shor that first comes out of my house. And if a white one comes, then it doesn't count. That's not what he was saying. He was just saying the first black shor to come out of the house. That's how we understand it. Whereas Beit Hillel says, well, if that's what the guy meant, why did he mention his house, you idiot? His house has nothing to do with it. He should have said the first black shor to emerge is the one that's Kadesh. If he's saying the first black shor to come out of my house, he's obviously saying that vis-a-vis the house, this is the first. Right? So if a white one comes out, then that's not the first out of the house. Otherwise, why mention the house? Of course, it's the first out of the house. Doesn't make any sense. He should have just said, Sheyetze Rishon. Why did he say Sheyetze Rishon from the house? Therefore, it can't be what you mean. Okay. This is a very balabatish discussion. I mean, to turn this into a Mishnah, Machlokas, between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, what the heck? Points out Rava mi Barnish to Rav Ashi, excuse me, what the heck does this have to do with Hegdesh b'ta'ut? There is no ta'ut here. I don't understand. Beit Shammai is saying that's what he meant. He meant the first black shor out of the others. And Beit Hillel is saying, no, he doesn't. He meant the first black shor to get out of the house. And what does that have to do with Hegdesh ta'ut? Everybody agrees that, of course, only what he meant is going to be happening. And the question is what he meant. Now, why are you calling this Hegdesh Ta'ut? I mean, yes, it's a wonderful explanation of the Mishnah that has nothing to do with what's going on over here. The Mishnah creates a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel of Hegdesh Ta'ut, and you sterilize the entire discussion to be completely meaningless. And we're not talking about making any mistakes. We're talking about how to interpret your vague words, right? So why are we calling this Hegdesh Ta'ut, Rav Papa? Well, it doesn't mean it's you made a mistake. It means you caused us to be misunderstanding your intent. And therefore we call it Hegdesh Ta'ut. It's the kind of Hegdesh that makes people make mistakes. Oh my gosh. What an unbelievable explanation. Okay, so it's the type of Hegdesh that makes people make mistakes, and therefore we're going to call it Hegdesh Ta'ud. And the real point is that, according to Beit Shammai, even a ambivalent statement is explained according to what we believe would make something Hekdesh, and according to Beit Hillel, an ambivalent statement is not defined in that way, and you have to be absolutely clear about what you're saying. So, I mean, excuse me, Rav Popa, what are you saying? Are you saying that Beit Shammai does not hold that Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, real Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, not your crazy Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, real Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, you're telling me that Beit Shammai does not hold that Hekdesh B'Ta'ut is Hekdesh? And he only holds a Rav Popa Hekdesh B'Ta'ut is Hekdesh? Where we're vaguely using the concept of how clear you have to be. That's all that it's about. How clear do you have to be? So we want to know what exactly it means when it says Ishki Afli. And that's what this is all about. But if we were dealing with true Hekdesh B'Ta'ut, of course Beit Shammai would never have said that we're going to learn out from Tmura that Hekdesh Ta'ut is Hekdesh. Is that what you believe? I'll prove to you that that's not true. That's not. Why, we are going to have a Mishnah later that says very much not like that. Guess where that Mishnah later is? Why, it's on today's daf. So therefore, I suggest that we turn the page and we look at that Mishnah. We learn it right now so that we won't have to be doubling things from the outside. And we shall see, therefore, says the Gemara, that actually Beit Shammai really and truly holds that it's actually pure Ta'ut would also be considered to be a Hekdesh. So here's the deal. Somebody makes a Naziris, Mishan Adar ben Nazir, and he thought that the language that he used for Naziris was not effective. And he was going along, and he was continuing to drink wine and so on. So he actually thought, let's say, that Barnea presents bottles or glasses of water, not realizing that actually every time that Barnea shows you that cup, it's actually filled with wine. So he says, I want to be a Nazir from Barnea drinks. Then he says, yeah, but Barnea drinks are only water, so therefore no Naziris was chal. He goes to a Chacham who knows more about Barnea than he does and says, oh no, if he said he is a Nazir from Barnea drinks, then that makes him a total Nazir. Because you wonder why it's never a actual glass so you could see what's in it, right? That's exactly why. And because of that, you've been a Neder the whole time. You've been a Nazir from the beginning. Now here it is, 2 weeks later, the guy discovers he's a Nazir. So what's the din? So the din is, he has to be Moneh Misha'a Shinadar. So there's two ways of learning this. The Rambam says, means exactly what it says. The Naziris was Chal at the time that he made the original statement. And that's true. But Yeraisa, the Rabbanan were Mechai of him to make up for the lost time. So he has to keep 2 weeks additional of a Naziris that he didn't know he was a Nazir about. Others learn that, no, that's exactly what it's saying. Moneh Misha'a Shenadar, it's a very poor language, but Moneh Misha'a Shenadar, according to the others, means that you take the amount of time from the original Neder until you asked the Chacham, and you count it again. Midrabana. Very difficult way to read the Mishnah, but fine, but it boils down to the same halacha. So nobody's arguing halacha lemaitza. Okay, then how about if he went to a chacham who was matir the neder, and he said, no, actually that was not a real Naziris. And he thought it was a real Naziris, and he had set aside his behemoth. Now we saw all of this before. Haitalo behema mufreshet. Yeah, we know what the deal is. Tate say vitira va'eder, it turns out it was all a mistake. You never were a Nazir, and that was true. Even Alibra Beit Shammai, you never were a Nazir, because we're talking about a case where the language was not appropriate to create Naziris, like all of the issues we had at the beginning of the Masechet, whether such and such a thing is called a kinoi for Naziris or not. Fine. So the Chacham paskin for him, you never were a Nazir. So now it turns out, the animals that he had set aside for the Naziris, he definitely tried to make them Hekdesh, but it was Hekdesh Ta'ut. because it was based on his mistaken assumption that he was a Nazir, and he really wasn't a Nazir. What's the din? It's completely chulin. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, gotcha, gotcha. You agree, don't you? You agree that in this case, it's completely chulin. Okay, why is it completely chulin? Because he made a big boo-boo, that's why. He never was a Nazir, and therefore, what do we see from here, our dear friends, Beit Shammai? We see from here that Hegdesh B'ta'ut is not Hegdesh. Ha! Because you agree that it actually becomes chulin. Nu? Iatem modim bezeshu Hegdesh Ta'ut? Nobody argues on the fact that it's completely chulin, and that means that you were wrong, and that all along there is no such thing as Hegdesh B'Ta'ut. Now look, this is real Ta'ut. This is not Rav Papian Ta'ut. This is serious Ta'ut, Rav Papa. Now if Beit Hillel tells Beit Shammai, you see, we gotcha, so obviously they understand that Beit Shammai was talking about a real ta'ut, not your sterilized, well, it's sort of misleading, so we call it ta'ut. Nothing to do with misleading anybody else. It has to do with there being a basic mistake and making the whole Hegdash an error, right? Now, Beit Shammai said to them, now, wait a minute here. What do you mean? You don't hold there's such a thing as Hegdash ta'ut. I mean, after all, we have a pasuk that tells us about Hegdash Ta'ut. How about if a guy is taking off Ma'aser Behima and he's got his little paint stick, you know, where he paints a little red mark on the one that comes out, and he loses track of his count. Number 9 comes out, and he takes his paintbrush and he says, this is Asiri. Oh, heck, that wasn't the Asiri. Whoops. So then the next one comes out, he says, okay, so then this is the Tishii. And the previous one, I'll pretend is the Asiri. And then he gets confused, and wait a minute, that was number 9? So then the next one is number 10. So when the next one comes out, which is the 11th, he says, okay, this is 10. Oh, no, wait a minute, that was 10. Anyway, the din is that in that case, all three of them are all Kodesh. So if he calls the ninth one 10, the 10th one 9, the 11th one 10, that they're all Kodesh. And that is learned from a pasuk, that the pasuk goes out of its way to talk about additional korbanos, and that for some reason the Torah is saying, listen, I don't care. The bottom line is, it's all Kodesh. So then, if that's the case, if it's all Kodesh, so then that should be true over here. So you see from here that it's basically Hegdesh B'Ta'ut is Hegdesh. That's what you see. Whoa. Fascinating. Okay, see, we can't argue on that. And everybody agrees that Hegdesh B'Ta'ut is Hegdesh. So why are you arguing with me, say Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel? If it's a pasuk in the Torah, what, you don't like the pasuk? What's your problem exactly? So in other words, Beit Shammai is arguing back that real serious Hegdesh B'Ta'ut is actually Hegdesh B'Ta'ut, and anyway, it's Hegdesh. You know, what are you going to do about the words of Beit Shammai? So, let's just see that. Ma ilu ta'a v'niach et ha-shevet al ha-shmini, says Beit Hillel. Hold on 1 second. That's not any proof. What exactly do you believe? You believe that the magic wand of your shevet makes something kodesh when it's not kodesh? Is that really what you believe? Ha-shevet kicho. Let's imagine the same thing, but the guy makes the mistake on number 8, and he calls number 8 10, and then he calls number 12 10. Do you think that that also, your magic wand, would make it Hegdesh? Do you think that makes a heck any difference? Shema Saklum? Absolutely not. It makes no difference whatsoever, and therefore, this is not about magic. This is about a special pasuk that says, why do you think it repeats that? To add one additional case, either one ahead or one before, kol asher yavor tachat ha-shevet yekodesh. So what made it kodesh? The shevet? No. That pasuk made it kodesh, for God's sake, right? Katuv shekidesh ha-asiri hu kidesh ha-tashihi. It's the pasuk that made it kodesh. That's all. So where do you get? And that's the same pasuk that was in Mekadesh HaHadasar. Therefore, okay, now we looked at the Mishnah, let's go back to where we were. Therefore, what do we see from there? That there really and truly, according to Beit Shammai, we have a real Hegdish Ta'ut being Hegdish, and they seem to be comparing it to actually making a serious error, not something that is a little bit misleading. Rav Papa, Michla de Savre Beit Shammai, Hegdish B'Ta'ut, real Ta'ut is Hegdish. Well, says Rav Papa, that was Beit Hillel who didn't understand Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel thought that when Beit Shammai said in this Mishnah, Hegdish Ta'ut, is Shmei Hegdish, they weren't smart enough to understand the Rav Papian sterilization of the words. They thought he meant it seriously. Nah, he never meant it seriously. And the fact that he explains to them that we could learn this from the din of Meiser, he was just making fun of them. He was telling them, well, I mean, if you really think Hegdish Ta'ut is Hegdish, I mean, and you're disagreeing with me, I mean, why don't you learn it from the putz? He was playing around with them, you know. But he also understands that, of course, you can't learn out from Meiser that real Hegdish B'Ta'ut is Hegdish. So all of this were people that were making mistakes about the other one's intents and or answering them according to their own mistakes. So it was Beit Hillel, says Rav Papa. He's the one who made the mistake over here. He thought that the meaning of this Mishnah is that Beit Shammai really holds that Hegdish B'Ta'ut is Hegdish. And Beit Shammai said to them, nah, you know, in reality, I mean, that's not what he said, but it's what he meant to say. In reality, this Mishnah was meant to be understood as the future generations will understand them, which is me, Rav Papa, and that is the correct explanation. I never felt that Hegdish B'Ta'ut is Hegdish. What? Savri Beit Shammai Hegdish B'Ta'ut lo avi Hegdish, Rav Papa. I mean, you're totally out of line. I mean, we've got a Mishnah that is coming is coming up later. And this Mishnah can't make it more clear. We're going to have this Mishnah tomorrow. Can't make it more clear that Beit Shammai is 100% serious about Hegdish B'Ta'ut. You want to hear this crazy case? Okay. So it starts off with there were six creatures that were walking into a bar. So the first of them, it's actually one of those crazy cases. All right, so there are these six guys walking down the road, okay, and they see this fellow coming towards them. So number one says, so Yimahalchim Maderach, okay. Number one says, Echad Ba'Kenegna. Number one says, man, I'm sure that is Joe. I am so sure that is Joe. I am committing myself to Naziris so that everyone should understand how sure I am that is Joe. So I am a Nazir. That is Joe. Now, he's not making a condition. If that is Joe, I am a Nazir. But he's making a Naziris on a conception that may be a misconception, right? Okay. The next guy, who's next to him, says, man, that is totally not Joe. I mean, how can anybody be so dumb to think that's Joe? I'm telling you, I am so convinced that that's not Joe, that I am a Nazir. That shows you how completely committed I am to the fact that this is not Joe. Okay. The third one says, well, I am absolutely certain about the fact that one of you is a Nazir, but not both of you. Okay. I guess this guy isn't Jewish to say, yeah, you're right, and you're right too. It's okay, fine. So he's a perfectly logical person. I am convinced that only one of you is a Nazir, because, I mean, mutually exclusive statements could not create Naziras. So he apparently holds like Beit Hillel, right? Because then it would be a mistake. So then the fourth one says, oh, yeah? I am so absolutely sure that only one of you is a Nazir, and not two of you. So I'm saying that one of you is definitely not a Nazir. Okay, so they both hold the same thing, just saying in the opposite direction, right? Okay, so now we've got Mr. 3 and Mr. 4. Comes along Mr. 5 and says, ha-ha, I am convinced both of you are Nazirim, and I'm so convinced that both of you are Nazirim, I hereby commit myself to Naziris, that both of you are Nazirim. And then number six comes along, and he says, you know what? I say, all of you are Nazirim. One and two who contradict each other, four and five who five and six who contradict each other, you're all Nazirim. Four and five, I mean, who contradict each other, all Nazirim. What's the din? Says Beit Shammai, they're all Nazirim. Okay, now how is that possible? It's clear that these people were making mistakes, right? And they're committing themselves to Naziris out of a mistaken belief that it is Joe or that it's not Joe or that the halacha is like Bechtelo, like whatever. Who cares? Their misconceptions do not change the fact that they are all Nazirim. Now, can we please, Rav Papa, can we drop this pretense? And can we finally admit that Beit Shammai really holds that Hegdash B'ta'ut is Hegdash? And can we get back down to business and try to understand what's going on over here? I'm sorry, says Rav Papa. Did I ever say that Beit Shammai doesn't hold Hegdash Ta'ut is considered to be Hegdash? It's you who took Rav Papian Ta'ut into realms that it was never intended to go. All I said was that you're making a mistake if you think that this Mishnah is about Hegdash Ta'ut. That's all I said. What I said was that we get gradually into the concept of Hegdash Ta'ut. We have Hegdash Ta'ut in the sense that it is misleading, and then later on we get to the story of the six guys in the bar, then we get the Hegdash Ta'ut. That is real Hegdash Ta'ut. That's all I said. But you cannot learn that this Mishnah, in which nobody's making a ta'ut, you cannot say that we would be able to learn that we would do the opposite of what a person said out of Temura, and that's all I said. So I'm giving a structure to the Perek in which I'm claiming that the first Mishnah had nothing to do with what you think Hegdash Ta'ut is. I'm not saying that the fourth Mishnah didn't. Of course it did. Jeez. Of course, Savri Beit Shammai Hegdash B'ta'ut Ave Hegdash. All I'm saying is, Hocholo, not here. This is not as an example of Hegdash Ta'ut. It's a Hegdash of Mat'e, not To'e. Okay. Abaya says, all of this is very far-fetched. I mean, I think we should try to explain the Mishnah in a way that allows it to be part of the dinim of Hegdash Ta'ut of Beit Shammai overall, and not to play into Rav Papa's hands over here. So I say the Mishnah is being read with the wrong nekudot, okay? The Mishnah never meant the Shor Sheyetse Rishon. The Mishnah meant the Shor Sheyatsa Rishon. You're the one who put the wrong dots under the Yud and the Tzadi. And all the Mishnah was saying is, a guy does not get up in the morning and say, the Shor that will come out. No, the guy got up in the afternoon and he said, the Shor that did come out. Now that's very different, as I will explain to you. We're not talking about a guy making his morning declaration of Naziris. So this guy gets up in the afternoon and everybody's making fun of him. You know, what the heck's going on in your own farm? You know, you get up in the afternoon. Meanwhile, the animals have all gone out to pasture. Oh, yeah, says he. Well, I could tell you. In my sleep, I know what's going on better than you go, because I can tell from the footsteps of the animals. I know them so well, which one went where. And therefore, I am going to tell you that that Shor Shachar that came out first, that is actually Hegdash. Ha, 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 they say, ha, ha. It was the Shor Lavan. It wasn't the Shor Shachar. So you're wrong. You don't know what's going on your farm. So then the guy says, All right, fine, white, black, does it really matter? What are you, a racist? I really meant to say whatever Shor comes out first, that's the one that should be Hegdash. Okay, so let's see that inside.
He was unsure about it.
So, says Abaye, don't think that the guy got up in the morning. How come I asking in the going, but Tiara? And he said the Shor Shachar Sheyatsa Mibeti Rishon Avi Hekdesh. And then everybody says to them, yeah, except that that's not what happened, buddy. What happened is that the white one came out and he said to them, okay, okay, big deal. You think I was really committed to white or black, for heaven's sakes? I'm just trying to bring a carbon, you know? So if I would have known it was white, I would have said white, not black. I don't really care. And therefore, Yihavi Yadana, the love on Nafak, Lo Amri Shachor. So therefore, what he's really saying, I mean, obviously, if we're talking about a prediction, I mean, the guy has absolutely no basis to make a prediction on. So therefore, if he said Shachor, he must have really meant Shachor. He wasn't guessing. In the case where it already happened over there, he may have made a mistake. So this is a mistake. And now he's telling us, yes, it is a mistake, but it's not meaningful. In reality, what I really wanted to do was to create a carbon. I didn't care. So therefore, we're going to compare this to the case of a real Hegdash Ta'ut, and we will still claim that Beit Shammai gets the idea that this is Hegdash. He actually gets it out of the din of Tmura, even though it isn't really the same as the case of Tmura, clearly, right? He's just saying, look, I mentioned black out of an error. I mean, all I was trying to do was to make something Hegdash. It makes no difference to me. All I meant was the first one that had come out. So therefore, we're looking at the word black as being irrelevant to the actual case. So he may have in his mind a black shor, but it doesn't matter because all he was actually saying is what he meant, which is make the first shor, whatever it is, make it hegdash. So that is a little bit more similar to the case of Tmura B'Ta'ut, where over there, the guy was in his mind. So the image that he had in his mind was a black shor, and he said the white shor, or vice versa. So we said over there that it would be a Tmura. So the same thing is true over here. But in Achinami, if the Mishnah was talking about that the guy had said it in the morning, then clearly he wasn't just making predictions based on nothing, and he must have meant the first one. Seriously, in that case, I can say the first one that is black, but I would never say the first one just means the first one and learn that out. Because if you just meant the first one, that's what you would have said, the first one. It's only when you're trying to show off that you really know what's going on your farm that you mention the first one that's black because you thought it was black. And you say, okay, fine, so it wasn't black, so I'm not as smart as I thought. Listen, you guys, leave me alone. I just want to make a carbon. Okay, so that's how Abaya says it. The problem is, of course, that the Mishnah has numerous cases, and you cannot possibly learn that all of these cases are talking about where the farmer got up in the afternoon, because all of the cases would have to follow the same basic structure. And therefore, is it talking about that he's looking back at the past to try to define it? Vakatani dinner shall zahav sheya'ale. The next case talks about the one that is going to come up. So then obviously we were right in reading the Mishnah sheyetze and not sheyatza. Because here you can't say that it meant sheala, it means sheya'ale. Well, you know, change the Mishnah that really meant sheala. Oh, come on, then it says a chavit sheyayin sheta'ale. It doesn't say sheyalta. It means shalta, you know. I mean, it's love dafka. But this is the way we should read it. Whew. Okay. If you say so. So we have two possibilities over here. We have one in which this is a misleading statement, and we have one in which it's a mistaken statement, and the person is telling us that, yes, I made a mistake, but it was irrelevant to what I wanted to do. So that essentially, I just wanted to make something Kodesh. You're saying, but you didn't do it correctly because it doesn't match your intent. Ah, but from Tmura, we learned that it doesn't have to match my intent. So therefore, we would be Yafina Sof Hegdesh, Itchilas Hegdesh Bisof Hegdesh. Then that's what Beit Shammai would be saying. Fine. Now, the question is, doesn't it matter whether, I mean, we're saying the guy had to say, I had in mind to make it a carbon come hell or high water, right? I just was adding in this issue, which is why we have to distinguish between before the shark comes out and after the shark comes out. Because if it was before, we don't believe that he's making a random guess. If it's after, then he can make a mistake and he can tell us that, okay, but it didn't really matter to me, right? But it's still very important that we do not have a complete mismatch, that when the person said that something, let's say in the case he thought he was a Nazir and he wasn't a Nazir, he made the animal Hegdish thinking that he was a Nazir, we know 100% that he would never have made it a carbon Nazir if he weren't a Nazir. So that was not something that Beit Shammai was arguing on. Beit Shammai was arguing about a case where there is a mismatch between intention and word, and he's clarifying that it doesn't really matter to him. That's how it has some similarity to the Temura. In the event that we know 100% that the person would not have had that kind of intention, of course Beit Shammai says, well, then it's as if he didn't say it, because that's an umdana. It's basically what he said was never said. Because anybody hearing those words knows, oh, well, of course, that's not true, right? So now we have another problem. Which direction do we believe the person when he is changing his narrative and he's claiming that he meant to give something that would end up being worth more than what he originally said he's going to give? Do we believe the change in narrative? Because we have a general question. When a person makes something Kodesh, is he do it ba'ayin yafa, or does he do it ba'ayin ra'a? Now, this is a question that comes up all over the place. How much did a person mean to include in his Hegdash? Do we say that a person is very generous when he's giving to the Beis HaMikdash? Or do we say just the opposite? He's thinking, okay, I want to give tzedakah. I can't afford to give this much, you know, but this is what I'll give, and therefore we should always assume that he's given less, which would mean ba'ayin ra'a. Now, first, let's determine which one is more valuable, a black shark or a white shark. So, Amar Rav Chisda, uchma b'chivra lakya. You've got a whole flock of, well, I guess it shouldn't be a flock, herd. We're talking about shvarim. So you have a herd of white shvarim, and it's got a black shark in it, then you should just know that your entire herd, if you're going to sell the herd, is going to be worth slightly less than you think. Because you think about it as a herd of white shvarim, but it's got one of these crummy black shvarim in it, and that reduces its value. On the other hand, a chivra, now the Bach takes out the word be'uchma, but I don't think he's right, even though he's right. In other words, in terms of the meaning, chivra lakya simply means a white spot on the back of an animal is an indication that there was a serious nega under that spot that maybe is hidden, maybe it was healed, but it's not a healthy animal. That's what it means. It has nothing to do with being the opposite of uchma b'chivra in terms of the flock. Nonetheless, I believe that it's correct that Rav Chisda phrased it that way, so that an uchma b'chivra, if you're talking about a black shark in a white herd, is a problem. And if you're talking about a white spot on a black hide, that's also a problem. It's just a nice way to put it, you see? Okay, but what would that mean? It would mean that black shvarim are worth less than white shvarim. Now, in the simple meaning of our Mishnah, what happened is that Beit Shammai was saying that if the white one came out, and this is the way Abaya was explaining it, and the guy said, well, I really didn't care, and so I said black, but it could just as well have been white. I'm no racist. So we said that according to Abaya, we're going to accept his narrative, right? And we're going to say that the white one is Kodesh. Remember, according to Rav Papa, the black one is Kodesh. According to the way Abaya was explaining it, The way to understand the Mishnah is that indeed the white one is Kadosh, but where he said that I didn't really have in mind black or white. I just had in mind the first shor, correct? There's a problem, though. If what Rav Chisda is saying is true, and the white one is worth more, and we have a general klal that when people give something to Hegdash, they do not mean things in a generous way, they mean things in a mean way, so then if that's the case, we should not believe his new narrative. We don't think that that's what you meant, buddy. You said the black shor because you are Magdish Ba'ayin Ra. So now that the white one comes up and you're trying to present yourself as this broad-minded, non-racist, that's all because the whole idiotic community is woke. But if it wouldn't been for that, you never would have said something so nonsensical, and we don't believe you. We do believe that black and white makes a big difference. And therefore, it should not be Agdish.
And yet, black cows matter.
Okay, I give up. I like that.
Is this where the word Schwarze comes from?
I didn't get that one. All right.
Schwarze.
Ah, okay. I can't keep up with you guys. Very good. Schwarze. Very interesting. Listen, Yiddish is a very deep language, you know. All right. So, the question is, from our Mishnah, if Rav Chisda is right, how do you explain the Mishnah? It's not. Shachor, she'etzei mebeti rishon hekdesh. And what happened was the white comes out. And we're assuming, like we always do, that kasaka daidon, that a person who's magdish is ba'ayin ra'ah magdish. And yet, Beit Shammai says, the way that Abai was understanding it, that the white one is actually Hegdash. So how do you explain that? We should say, well, wait a minute. We know that he didn't mean to make the white one Hegdash. Excuse me. And what do you think? What do you mean? So let's take it your way, okay? So what do you want to say now? It will work out if you learn that Ba'ayin Teva is Magdash, right? So I don't get it. If it's Ba'ayin Yafa Magdish, then it's going to work. It's also not going to work. Look at the next case. The next case has a dinner shel Zav, and instead a Barnea dinner comes up, which is a dinner shel Kesev, and we said over there also that Beit Shammai says Hegdash. Now, I mean, it's got to be one way or the other, man, you know? So if the guy, we're going to say, intends always to make things better, so then in this case, we should say, well, you certainly didn't want to give a Barnea dinner. That's not as good as a golden dinner. And therefore, we don't believe you. And in this case, even Beit Shammai should say, sorry, that is not what you set out to be Magdish. So then that case doesn't make sense then. Okay, so what do you want to say, Ba'ayin Ra'ah? So then what are you going to do with the next case? If Ba'ayin Ra'ah is Magdish, how do you explain the case of the AI robot that brought up a chavit shel shemen instead of a chavit shel yayin, and there, what he did bring up was more malleable than obviously the olah shel shemen, and shemen is odif miyayin, and afal piket Beit Shammai says hegdash. So no matter how you look at it, one way or the other, I mean, we are stuck. Either what ba'ayin yafa doesn't make sense, or ba'ayin ra doesn't make sense. Well, I can explain the last case. Maybe we're talking about someone who lives in Gaviland. So if the guy is Begalila Shanu, and in the Galil, indeed, wine is more valuable than oil because there's so many olive trees, so then we can assume that he's actually Be'ayin Ra'ah. Yeah, okay, great. So if it's Be'ayin Ra'ah, we're back to the question we had on Rav Chisda. So then Kashal Rav Chisda. So one way or the other, we're messed up over here. So why would the Shor Lavan be Kodesh if Be'ayin Ra'ah? We should say that Beit Shammai knows, oh, he couldn't possibly have wanted to be Magdish, the white one. That one is valuable. Oh, Malachor Rav Chisda, wait a second over here. You are actually misrepresenting my opinion. I do not believe that black shvarim are better. White shvarim are better, unless we're talking about Tura de Karmanoi. Those Karmanoin shvarim. That's a specific type of shor, And there, I said, those type of shvarim, the white one is indeed more kosher, but the Mishnah isn't talking about karmanoi. What made you think it was talking about karmanoi? It's talking about regular shvarim. And therefore, in this case, all of the situations are the same. It's Bayin Rahu, Magdish, Hakol B'Seder. Now, there's something else that Rav Chisda says that seems to be contradictory to what we just claimed. The Omer Rav Chisda, if you're looking for an ox to be able to have its skin being valuable, buy yourself a black ox. If you're looking for steak, then buy yourself a ruddy ox. And if you're looking for plowing and you want power, get yourself a white ox. So now, if this black ox is worth more for its skin, then why did Rav Chisda say that a black ox is a black mark against your herd? It should certainly make up for its value by having a buyer that wants to buy it because of its beautiful black skin. So there's a contradiction in Rav Chisda. Answers Rav Chisda, ki amrei b'tura de karmanoi. I was only talking about the first thing I said. Remember, that black is actually a mark against thing. That's talking about a karmanoi ox. So enochinami. In that sense, a white karmanoi is better than a black karmanoi in every single area, even including its skin. And here I'm talking about generally. I'm not talking about karmanoi. So there's no contradiction at all. Now, the Mishnah we've already learned, which brings us up to Lamed Beis. Excellent. Okay, so now we are on target, Bezrat Hashem, and look forward to meeting you tomorrow after all of the great Nisim and Niflos that we shall be zeichet to as this Adar, Beit Adar. So wishing you all a wonderful, wonderful day. Kol Tuv, I see Barnea is trying to interrupt, but I'll keep talking and make sure it won't happen. Nobody hears a word he's saying, correct? I don't hear a word he's saying. It's a good thing is...
you can remember that karmanoi means white is better. It's cream noi. It's cream is beautiful.
Okie dokie, I like that. Karmanoi. Okay, very good.